Well, today we have St. Mark's chapter 6, verse 45 to 52, about Jesus walking on the water and calming the storm. You remember yesterday we heard about the Lord feeding the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the whole crowd had eaten their fill. There was even 12 basketfuls left over. And so the Lord knew that they wanted to make him a king, because this would be a great kind of king to have around. You'd never be hungry again. The Lord was a great person to have at a dinner party. The food never ran out. So they figured, let's make him king. So the mob started to get into a frenzy, and they started to say, this is the king that we want. And so the Lord did not want this to happen. He did not want to be a military king or a political king or an earthly king. And so it says he immediately told his disciples to get into the boat and precede him to the other side of the lake. This is the Sea of Galilee, also called the Lake of Gennesaret. It's about, maybe 10 miles long, about 5 miles across, 5 miles wide. And so the Lord said, go, I'll meet you there. And he would dismiss the crowd by himself. The Lord didn't want the apostles to get caught up into this frenzy of wanting him to be an earthly king. So he dismisses the apostles, they get into the boat, and then the Lord is able to calm the crowd down and dismiss the crowd. And then it says, the Lord went up to the mountain to pray. What a great example that is, that prayer life has to be utmost. Prayer life has to be the most important thing in our life. As St. Alphonsus Liguori says, those who pray will be saved. Those who do not pray will be damned. It's as simple as that. So prayer. And Jesus being God, strictly speaking, he did not have to pray. But obviously he's truly God and truly man. He wanted to give us an example. He wanted to be united to his Heavenly Father in prayer and solitude and conversing with the Heavenly Father. So the Lord loved to pray in different places, by the sea, by the mountains. Today he goes up into the mountains to pray throughout the night. And as he's up on the mountain, he can see a storm coming in. He sees the apostles probably had the sails up at that time, but the wind was against them, so they had to take down the sails and begin rowing, Scripture says. So they began to row against this huge storm. It says the wind was against them. And so they were going through a very difficult time with the waves and the wind. And they'd probably gone about 3 or 4 miles onto the, heading across the sea by this time. And the Lord he knew that they were out there struggling, but he was aware of it, and so he goes out to assist them. And it says this occurred during the fourth watch of the night. This would be between 3 in the morning and 6 in the morning. That was the fourth watch. So it was almost daybreak. So they had been rowing perhaps for 4 or 5 hours, taking turns rowing, trying to get across the sea. And again, it's a great lesson when you go through the storms of life. Sometimes you think, well, where is the Lord? Where is he? You're on your boat in the middle of the ocean, and you're struggling with the storms of life. Well, of course, the Lord is there. He's very concerned, very watchful. And so the Lord decides to walk out towards them. So imagine, he walked at least 3 or 4 miles on the Sea of Galilee to get out to them. Of course, the most humorous verse in all of Scripture, and he meant to pass them by, as if he was just out for a midnight stroll in the water. But of course, there's different ways to interpret this passage. One translation could be he meant to pass beside them, to come out beside them. Another, some of the fathers of the church seem to indicate that it meant that he came out, and in the eyes of the apostles, it looked like he was passing them by. He was out there walking on the water. And perhaps this also shows the Lord's respect for our free will, that he doesn't want to force himself upon us. He'll be there, but we have to call out to him, right? The Lord is there, but we have to, he's not going to force himself on us if we don't want that. We have to cry out, Lord, save me, Lord, help me. And so perhaps that's the reason why the Lord was walking close enough that they could see him, but not close enough to not want their cooperation. So they saw him. They first thought it was a ghost, a phantom, and they begin crying out. And so the Lord turns and sees that they are terrified. He walks up to them and he says, "Take courage. It is I, do not be afraid." And in the Greek New Testament where it says, "It is I," it is ego eme, which means I am. He used the word that only God could use about himself, that God used to Moses on Mount Sinai at the burning bush. When Moses says, "Who are you?" God says, "I am who am." That's what Jesus said. "Do not be afraid, for I am." And that's why the chief priest tore his garments. They said, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the living God?" Jesus said, "I am." And the high priest heard blasphemy, so he tore his garments. So we have here Jesus showing his divinity, that he is God. And he says, "Do not be afraid. Do not fear." So he stepped off the water into the boat, and the wind died down, and the storm was calm. And it says they were completely astounded. And interesting, Mark says an interesting point. He says, they had not understood the incident of the loaves. What does that mean? They didn't realize that by multiplying the loaves, he was proving his divinity, that they had nothing to fear. God was with him. Jesus was Emmanuel, that he could work a miracle. They had not understood, it says, the divinity of Christ. They didn't understand that that miracle of feeding 5,000 could only be done by God himself. It says, on the contrary, Mark says, their hearts were hardened. You know, we see this in Scripture so many times, the apostles being so clueless, so hard of heart, not getting it. And so, little by little, the Lord chipped away at their hard hearts by working miracles like this and showing them great mercy and great compassion.